What if death isn't the end? And what if the veil is thinner than we think? After the loss of her stepdad, Roz Mugford began to experience things she still struggles to explain. The kind of moments you hesitate to share because they feel too sacred, as if they were meant only for you. In this episode, Roz opens up about living in that fragile space between grief and awe. She talks about shared death experiences, about signs, about the possibility that trauma can open doors we didn't know were there. At its heart, this is a story about how love perseveres in the most unexpected ways. If you've ever felt something you couldn't quite explain after losing a loved one, this one goes out to you. And now, onto the moments that will stay with Roz forever.
So hello, everybody. My name is Rosalyn Mugford. You may know me as the producer slash co-host of this wonderful podcast that you're listening to. And today I'm going to tell you my contact story. So this story is about my stepdad, Jack, and an experience that I had when he passed away. In order to tell you the story, I need to give you a bit of backstory. So when my stepdad, Jack, came into my life, I was about 8 years old. My mom at that point had divorced my dad, obviously, and we had all moved in together into a trailer in a little trailer park in the interior of BC. In the beginning, when my mom and my stepdad got together, I really bonded with my stepdad. Jack was really funny and he always made me laugh. And when you're 8 years old, that is money, right? You got somebody in your life that makes you laugh. It's just the best thing ever. And he was just a very playful soul. And I think for me as a kid, I really connected with that playfulness and I really loved it. So we kind of got on thick as thieves, I think, right from the beginning. I have a lot of good memories of Jack. When I was little, we used to go out to Glimpse Lake, which was a few hours from where we lived in Merritt, which is in the interior of BC. And he was building log homes out there. He used to build log homes for the Germans. And so we would go out there and hang out in a little cabin with a wood stove and just hang out around where he was building these houses. And so, you know, it was out there that he taught me how to recognize the Big Dipper. He taught me how to recognize the sound of a loon on the lake at night, which if you've ever heard that sound, it is hauntingly beautiful. And he also taught me out there how to feed birds by hand, which was a really magical experience. He taught me how to essentially feed these birds in Canada. They're called camp robbers, we call them. That's their nickname, but they're like a type of jay. And so I would go out with a piece of bread in my hand and I would stand, you know, in the path behind the cabin and just hold this piece of bread up over my head and just wait. And the idea was that if you got really still and really calm, that the bird would come down and it would like swoop and grab the bread right out of your hand. You'd just be holding it up above your head. And so that was a really cool experience. And looking back now, I feel like that was almost one of my first experiences with meditation was, you know, feeding these birds by hand. It was really cool, like really, because you have to be really calm and really still, right, for the birds to feel you're safe enough to get close to you. So those are some of my earliest memories. And Jack was also really into the paranormal. And so that was my introduction to all things UFOs and ghosts. And, you know, I remember lots of Time Life books ending up in our house. You know, the Reader's Digest Mysteries of the Unexplained book. I think I read that thing cover to cover. Like, it had every possible type of paranormal phenomena. And I wore that book out. I actually still have a copy of it to this day. And Jack was also very much into ESP. So like telepathy. I'm not even sure really where he came into this, you know, ESP stuff, but he really believed in it. And so he essentially taught me how to pick cards out of his hand using ESP. And we would spend hours practicing this. He would essentially take 5 cards out of a deck and he would hold them in his hand so that I couldn't see them. So the cards were facing him, the backs of the cards were facing me. And then I would hold his other hand. And then he would tell me which card he wanted me to pick. And he would try to, like, transmit to me telepathically where the card was in his hand. So he wouldn't look at them. He wouldn't give me any hint at all. He would just hold my hand and tell me the card he wanted me to get and then let me try to pick it, right? And so I would, like, run my finger. You might got to imagine, like, 8 years old, right? I would run my finger across the top of the cards and run it back and, like, run my finger across the top of the cards and run it back. And I would just, I wouldn't touch the cards. I would just kind of hover my finger above them. And I would do this as long as I needed to until I started to feel almost like this kind of magnetic pulling. I would kind of feel this, like, gentle kind of magnetic sensation, like that my finger was, like, being pulled down to a certain card. And then I would pull it. And of course, like, in the beginning, you know, we weren't very good. It took me a little bit of time. But over time, we got really good at this, like, to the point where, you know, 3, 4, 5 times in a row, even, I would be able to pick the right card out of his hand. And so it was really cool. I just have this, you know, fun memory of doing this with my stepdad and never really thought much more about it other than, you know, what an interesting kind of a memory. Families are messy. You know, and mine is really no exception. And unfortunately, my stepdad was also an alcoholic and he was an abusive alcoholic. And so I spent a lot of years hiding in my room, tables being flipped, lots of yelling, you know, name calling, just terrible stuff. And eventually, unfortunately, became the victim of abuse myself. Unfortunate and, you know, not something I ever like to talk about, but it is relevant to the story because, you know, our relationship over the years, as I grew into an adult, we still had a relationship, but it was never the same as when I was little. And so when my mom passed away in 2010, you know, we really stopped talking for the most part. And so I really didn't have much contact with my stepdad at all. I always felt a bit of guilt around that. And I always felt kind of bad around that. And I did go back and see him in 2019, just briefly for a short visit. And, you know, we got to reconnect a little bit and just have a short bit of time together. And then in January of 2024, it was January the 18th, I had gone to bed and during the night had this really crazy dream. Like, you know how you have really wild dreams sometimes where they seem so real? And this dream, in this dream, I was standing in some kind of a location. I'm not even sure exactly where I was, but there was this man who came up to me in the dream. And he held out this bouquet of flowers. And I had this most loving, like, all I can say is, like, this experience of the most all-encompassing, loving feeling. And it almost felt like an apology. Like, he handed me these flowers and he didn't say he was sorry, but I had this feeling. It was like this loving feeling just wash over me, like, I should have given you this in life. I'm giving it to you now, kind of feeling. And as he gave them to me, he said, "Welcome to heaven." And I woke up, like, immediately woke up. And I was laying there in bed. I was just kind of absorbing this dream, like, wow, like, that feeling of love was just, like, intense. And then a few hours later, I got a message from my stepsister that my stepdad had passed away in the night. And so to me, I mean, that was him. Like, I feel like it was a contact moment. I feel like he was essentially in death. It was him giving me this apology, giving me all this love, giving me this warm, you know, this compassionate energy that he wished he would have given me in life. That was the feeling that I got. And I did a little bit of research on that after, and there's something called a shared death experience that people claim to have or have had. And I didn't know anything about this, but it's kind of similar, I guess, to a near-death experience, but it's when people actually share in the death experience of a loved one, someone that passes away. And I do believe that that's what it was. And I think that it goes back to all those years before when he was teaching me telepathy. I think that when I was 8 and we established that bond, I think that there's something that happened there that kind of connected us. And so that when he died, he was able to send me that message. But, you know, for me, that moment was so healing because I had all these feelings of like guilt and over the years and wish we had been closer, but the relationship was so fraught and it was so messy and I just couldn't, you know, after my mom died, I just couldn't maintain that relationship. And so when I had that experience, it was like it was just like the biggest hug. It was like, it's okay, you know, and I wish I would have given you all of this love in life and I'm sorry and, you know, take this forward. I'm not sure if the trauma that I experienced living in that house or that, you know, that was inflicted upon me, I will say, was part of what connected us. I don't know. Sometimes people believe in karmic relationships, right? And I think the Buddhists will say as well, like, you know, maybe in this life you are somebody's daughter, stepdaughter, but in another life you were their mother. And in another life you were their good friend. And in another life you were their spouse. And in, you know what I mean? This kind of idea that we come back as different parts of someone's life. We're kind of always together karmically, but we play different roles for each other. I mean, I think anybody who's come through trauma, you're always looking back on it going like, is there any meaning to this, right? Is there anything that I can learn from this, that I can take forward in my life that will make me a better person? You're always hoping to find those little nuggets of things. So, I mean, I'd love to ascribe some of that to this experience in some way. So maybe. I don't think that this experience has made me believe in heaven per se, and because I feel like it was almost more symbolic. You know, it's kind of like UFO experiencers when they say, like, do you think you were really aboard a ship, or do you think it was all in your head, kind of thing. I kind of feel like it's like that a little bit. It's like maybe the message is sent in a way that I'm able to understand it. So I don't know that it makes me necessarily believe in heaven, but it definitely makes me believe that there is something after we die. I would say that it has affirmed my belief in consciousness carrying on, for sure. So after that dream and after all of that happened, you know, I have received more messages from my stepdad, what I believe are more messages, and more things have happened. But I think the most powerful one that just started happening this past January, so 2 years after he passed away, is that I've had birds start approaching me. And so this is totally going to make me tear up. Okay, I've told myself I'm not going to cry. It's emotional for sure. I'm glad I got Kleenex here with me. Okay, just hang on a second. So every morning I walk my dog. I go up and down our street. We live in the country. It's a rural area. And there's lots of chickadees in the bushes. And this year I literally was walking up the road one morning with the dog and I had a chickadee it flew right up behind me. I could hear it. It was like fluttering its wings, like right behind my head. Like it was hovering behind me. And then it flew over my shoulder and landed on a bush, you know, just on the side of the road. And I was like, wow, you know, I think it's trying to get my attention, right? I think this bird is actually trying to get me to notice it. So anyway, we kept walking got up to my neighbor's driveway and another chickadee in the bush. And this one literally flew up right in front of my face, hovered, and then flew back into the bush, and then flew right back up in front of my face and back into the bush. And it did this like four times, like literally hovering in front of my face. And at that point, I was like, oh, they are looking for food. They want me, like, this is a, it's, it wants me to feed it. And so, so I got some sunflower seeds, and I have started to feed the birds. And so I go outside and I have my seeds in my hand and I get really silent and really quiet and I put my hand out and the chickadees just land on my hand and they take the seeds and they fly away and go back into the bush. And so that's what I've started doing this January, 2 years after his death, is I've started to feed the birds by hand again. Is it just the birds are being bold because it's Canada and it's winter and they really want some seeds? Is it my stepdad? Of course, I'm going to choose to believe it's my stepdad, you know, sending me more love from beyond. I mean, I think, you know, if I could wrap it all up, the dream, the signs that he sent me, you know, the birds now, I guess my strongest feeling from all of these things that happened was, in the end, it's all love, right? That's the feeling that I've gotten from it, is like everything that happens, whatever unfolds in the end, it's just all love. And so whatever that energy is that is persevering, that is coming to me, whether it's consciousness continuing to exist, whether it's ghosts, whether, you know, whatever it is that you believe, I do feel that that energy is trying to still show me love. It really has allowed me to put away the guilt, put away the, you know, trauma to a certain extent, right? Trauma is always with you. It's like you never really leave it, but it's allowed me to have closure on that relationship and also to carry forward the good memories. And I think that's maybe the biggest gift out of all of this, right?
Thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Spotify or on your chosen platform. If you could like, share, or subscribe, that would be very much appreciated. It helps us find our tribe. If you'd like to support the show and get access to a 1 hour live chat each month and early ad-free access, you can find us at Patreon. Just follow the link in the show notes or at our website at tobehumanshow.com. Feel free to reach out via the contact page or email at hello@tobehumanshow.com. You can also find us on Blue Sky, Threads, Instagram, or X at tobehumanshow. As always, remember to be curious. The universe is bigger than we know.
What It Means to Be Human is a Double Barrel production. This week's episode was produced by Roz Mugford and Dan Zetterstrom. Sound post-production by Parker Mosley, with technical support from Dale Mugford. Our theme music is